Let us humbly bow our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time, thanking and praising your name for the Sabbath day. And Father, we truly do enjoy your Sabbath. We look forward to it each and every week, Father, for the renewing of our spirit. Father, we love you, and we know that you love us. That's why you've given us your great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us, Father, to see the seriousness of the gift that you've given us. Help us to accept this great gift, Father, with the love that you've offered it. Father, we do love you, and we thank you for calling us into this wonderful truth. Help us, Father, to gain the knowledge that you prepared for us this day, that it might stir us up, that it might cause us to draw closer to you. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us for our life, health, and strength. And again, Father, we ask that you to bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, that you would watch over your servants, Father, wherever they are in the world, and cause each one, Father, to be faithful as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We love you, and again, thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and in his holy name we pray. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message, Do Not Envy. And the subtitle is, Do You Envy? Yahshua taught us not to envy the wicked brethren. And today, throughout the world, they are celebrating Halloween, winter solstice, Valentine's Day, and Easter. We cannot allow ourselves to get caught up in the paganism. For our parsha, or our text, you might say, we're going to look at a couple opening passages. The first one will be in Esther chapter 3, because this past week was Purim. Thursday. In Esther chapter 3, verse 7, it says, in the first month, which is the month Nisan, which is the Babylonian name for the month Aviv, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, which is the month Adar, which is where we are right now. And Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom, and their laws are diverse or different from those of every people. They neither keep the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have charge of the king's business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said to Haman, the silver is given to you, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to you. And one of the things that we see is Satan the devil has a very subtle way about doing things. And he will, as in the case of Haman, basically tried to bribe the king, okay? You know, he didn't come right out and talk about the people. He went after their customs, their laws. And these are laws that were given from Almighty Yahweh. And we know that they're good laws. But Satan is going to try to corrupt things and cause, you know, people to see things differently. You know, like the laws that we keep aren't profitable. And we know they're profitable. Psalm chapter 73 is the parsha, a text that I want to concentrate on. That's Psalm 73. surely Elohim is good to Israel, even to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps were nearly made to slip, for I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride is as a chain about their neck. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and in the wickedness utter oppression. They speak loftily, highly. They have set their mouth in the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does El know? And is there knowledge in Elyon? Behold, these are the wicked, and being always at ease, they increase in riches. Surely in vain have I cleansed my heart and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I will deceive a generation of your children, when I thought how I might know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of El and considered their latter end. So it wasn't until I went into the sanctuary and considered their latter end that I realized that I'm not supposed to envy the wicked or those that are against Yahweh, because their end is destruction. In verse 18, it says, surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How are they become a desolation in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So Yahweh, when you awake, you will despise their image. For my soul was grieved, and I was pricked in my heart. So brutish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have held my right hand, and you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, Yahweh? And there is no one upon earth that I desire besides you. And that's what we do. We desire Yahweh because we know that we have the hope of eternal life, whereas though we see the wicked will perish. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart fails, but Elohim is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from you shall perish. And that's truly what's going to happen to the wicked. You have destroyed all of them that play the harlot, departing from you. So those that have left serving Yahweh will be destroyed as well, because they envy the wicked and decided to follow them. But it is good for me to draw near to Elohim. I have made the sovereign Yahweh my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Psalm 138. We'll start in verse 1. I will give you thanks with my whole heart. Before the Elohim will I sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day that I called, you answered me. You did encourage me with strength in my soul. Yahweh doesn't hear the wicked, brethren. He hears the repentant sinner. He hears the righteous. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Yahweh, for they have heard the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing the ways of Yahweh, for great is the glory of Yahweh. For though Yahweh is high, yet he has respect to the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the middle of trouble, you will revive me. We don't have to worry about the afflictions of this life or the trouble of this life, because Yahweh is going to be with us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. He's going to save us through Yahshua the Messiah, which means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh will be perfect that which concerns me. Yahweh will perfect that which concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Yahweh, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hands. We are the work of Yahweh's own hands, brethren. For our next passage, turn over to Mark 15. And Hebrew exegesis, or Jewish exegesis, there is a term called pardes. And pardes stands for the four levels of Bible knowledge. The Peshat, which is the plain, Remez, which is the hints or implied meaning, the Darash, which is the allegorical, homological, or the exegetical, or the fourth level, which is the Sod level, which is the deep, secret, mysterious level. And just like from Genesis, you have Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Genesis is Bereshit, it's the beginning, it's, you know, but the next four books each reflect that same four levels of understanding or Bible knowledge, and in the New Testament, the first four books are the same, but not in the necessary order, because actually the Peshat level, Peshat, is supposed to be Mark, which is the plain. The Remez level is Luke, which is the hints or the implied. The Darash is the Matthew, and the Sod level is the book of John, according to the Jewish exegesis. But we're going to look at two of these passages, and it's going to be Mark, which would be on the Darash, the plain, the Peshat level, and the Darash level, which is Matthew, of this passage. So the first one is Mark 15. It says, "And straightway in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation and bound Yahshua and carried him away and delivered him up to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answering says to him, 'You say,' and the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? Behold, how many things they accuse you of.' But Yahshua no more answered anything, so much that Pilate marveled. Now the feast he used to release to them one prisoner, whom they asked of him. And there was one called Barabbas, lying bound with them that had made insurrection, men who in the insurrection had committed murder." So he was a murderer. "And the multitude went up and began to ask him to do as he was accustomed to do to them. And Pilate answered them, saying, 'Are you wanting that I release to you the king of the Jews?' For he perceived that for envy the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the multitude that he should rather release Barabbas to them. And Pilate again answered and said to them, "What then shall I do?" "What then shall I do to him whom you call King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Impale him." And Pilate said to him, "Why, what evil has he done?" This is a question. What evil has he done? But they cried out exceedingly, "Impale him." And Pilate, wishing to contend the multitude, released to them Barabbas and delivered Yahshua when he had scourged him to be impaled. And we're going to go over and look at the Matthew version of this, which is the Darash, the allegorical, a homological or exegetical Matthew 27, starting verse 11. "Now Yahshua stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Yahshua said to him, 'You say.' And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he said, answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, then says Pilate to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they witness against you?' And he gave him no answer, not even one word. So that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the multitude one prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas." See, another passage didn't make Barabbas, it just made him seem like any other insurrectionist or a murderer. But this says he was a notable prisoner called Barabbas. "When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom would you that I release to you? Barabbas, the notable prisoner or murderer, or Yahshua, who is called the Messiah?'" Not just the king of the Jews, as it said in the other passage, but the Messiah. "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up." And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have you nothing to do with that righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Now therefore the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Yahshua. So it was the priests that were behind this, who were supposed to be the leaders of the people. And they were supposed to be righteous individuals. "But the governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two will you that I release to you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do to Yahshua, who is called the Messiah?' They all said, 'Let him be impaled.' And he said, 'Why, what evil has he done?' But they cried out greatly, saying, 'Let him be impaled.' So when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather that a tumult was arising, an uprising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man.'" So even Pilate called him a righteous man in this passage. "See you to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." That wasn't brought out in the other passage. So this is a deeper passage here that's bringing out more about what took place. I'll stop there. I have much more. "But it was for envy that they had delivered him up." Envy is a powerful emotion very powerful. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 9. And then he has said, "Lo, I come to you. I come to do your will." He takes away the first that he may establish the second, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yahshua the Messiah once for all. And every priest indeed stands day by day ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away our sins. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh. From now on, waiting until his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh. From now on, waiting until his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after he has said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says Yahweh, I will put my laws on their heart. Upon their mind also will I write them." Then he says, "And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Now where remission is, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, to enter into the holy place by the blood of Yahshua. That blood of Yahshua was shed for all of us, even those that denied him, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, all of us. Again, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Yahshua, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a great priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. And we see that day drawing near, brethren. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We who love Yahweh desire his kingdom more than anything in or of this world. We don't envy the world or the things that are in it. Jacob, or James, chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. My brethren, hold not the faith of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, the Sovereign of glory, with respect of person. For if there come into your synagogue a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, And there come in also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard to him that wears the fine clothing, and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit under my footstool. Do you not make distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, did Yahweh not choose them that are poor of this world, like our brethren in Kenya, rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom, which he promised to them that love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Don't the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before the judgment seat? Don't they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? However, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if you do not commit adultery but kill, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as men that are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment without mercy is to him that has showed no mercy. Mercy glories against judgment. So what about us, brethren? Do we envy the things of this world? For judgment without mercy is to him that showed no mercy, and mercy glories against judgment. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. This is a passage that we're very familiar with. But I want to go into it again because I want to hit a few points here. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15. Look therefore carefully how you walk, brethren, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore be not foolish, but understand what the will of Yahweh is, and be not drunken with wine, in which is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if we're filled with the Spirit, brethren, we're not going to treat one brother, regardless of his social or economic status, better than another. Speaking one to another in psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to Yahweh, giving thanks always for all things, in the name of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, to Yahweh, even the Father, subjecting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Messiah. Now, I'm going to read that scripture again. Subjecting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Messiah. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as to Yahweh. For the husband is the head of the wife, as the Messiah also is the head of the assembly, being himself the Savior of the body. But as the assembly is subject to the Messiah, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as the Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the assembly to himself a glorious body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loves his own wife loves himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh. And they're supposed to be one, husband and wife. So if you're not going to hate your own flesh, you can't hate your wife. Or your wife can't hate your husband, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Messiah also the assembly, because we are members of his body. We're one with Yahshua the Messiah. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be closely joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of the Messiah and of the assembly. Nevertheless, you also severally love each one his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see that she fear her husband. That term fear is respect. Children, obey your parents, in Ephesians 6, verse 1. In Yahweh, for this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth, and you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of Yahweh. In other words, we're supposed to correct them when we see them doing that which is wrong. Servants, be obedient to them according to the flesh, are your masters, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart. As to Yahweh, as to the Messiah, not in the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of the Messiah, doing the will of Yahweh from the heart. And that's what we have to do, brethren. We can't envy the world or the things that they have or the things that they do. We have to follow Yahshua the Messiah and his example and the great sacrifice that he gave. If we say we love Yahweh, then we have to follow doing his will from the heart with good will doing service as to Yahweh, not to men. Doesn't matter what men think. We don't envy them. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, the same shall he receive again from Yahweh, whether bond or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, and forbear threatening, knowing that he who is both their masters and yours is in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him. And Yahweh doesn't respect persons, brethren. He doesn't. Do not envy the wicked, brethren. It's not profitable. Turn to Psalm 106. That's Psalm 106. We'll start in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. For his loving kindness endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of Yahweh? Or show forth all his praise. Blessed are they that keep justice, and he that does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Yahweh, with the favor that you bear to your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not your wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of your loving kindnesses, but were rebellious at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through a wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their adversaries, and there was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. Sad, all the miracles that they saw in him delivering them from Egypt. But it wasn't until after he destroyed the Egyptians that they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted very much in the wilderness and tempted El in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of Yahweh. the children of Israel envied the wicked. They believed not Yahweh's word. Then they envied Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. In verse 17, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burnt up the wicked. And it's going to happen again. The flames are going to burn the wicked in the last days, brethren. That's why we can't envy them. We have to worship Yahweh and follow Him and put all of this paganism behind us, all the idolatry of the world. We cannot partake. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. In this manner, they changed their glory for the likeness of an ox that eats grass. They forgot El, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. And they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. Again, they didn't believe after he showed them, told them about the promised land, but murmured in their tents and listened not to the voice of Yahweh. Therefore, he swore to them that he would overthrow them in the wilderness and that he would overthrow their seed among the nations and into the lands. They joined themselves to Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. In this manner they provoked him to anger with their doings, and the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was reckoned to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because he struck the rock twice, because they were rebellious against his spirit, and he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as Yahweh commanded them, but mingled themselves with the nations and learned their works and served their idols. And that's what he doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to participate in Halloween and Valentine's Day and Christmas or Easter, any of the paganism of this world. Yes, they which became a snare to them, which it does. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. In this manner were they defiled with their works and played the harlot in their doing. Therefore was the wrath of Yahweh kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the nations, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. So if we're not in subjection to Yahweh, we're going to end up being in subjection to somebody. But Yahweh is going to dictate who it is. I'd rather be in subjection to Yahweh than to Satan the devil. Many times did he deliver them, but they were rebellious in their counsel and were brought low in their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their distresses when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant. So Yahweh can't forget his covenant and the people of the covenant, and he repented according to the multitude of his loving kindness. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. Save us, O Yahweh, our Elohim, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks to your holy name, and to triumph in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Hallelujah. Satan envies Almighty Yahweh and his worship. Satan wants Yahweh's praise. He wants Yahweh's people to worship him. Turn with me to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. The word of Yahweh came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, in this manner says sovereign Yahweh, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am El. I sit in the seat of Elohim, in the middle of the seas, yet you are man and not El. Though you did set your heart as the heart of Elohim, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is hidden from you. By the wisdom and by your understanding, you have gotten for yourself riches and have put gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom and by your trade have you increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, because you have set your heart as the heart of Elohim, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they shall defile your brightness, and they shall bring you down to the pit, and you shall die the death of them that are slain in the heart of the seas. Will you yet say before him that slays you, I am Elohim? But you are man and not El. In the hand of him that wounds you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, says the sovereign Yahweh. Moreover, in verse 11, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him in this manner, says the sovereign Yahweh, you sealed up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Pardes means a garden. When we're talking about the four levels of Bible knowledge, the word pardes talks about a garden. It means a garden, a walled garden. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was in you. In the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub that covers, and I set you so that you were upon the holy mountain of Elohim. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And in the book of Job, it talks about him walking up and down in the holy mountain of Elohim. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, they filled the middle of you with violence, and you have sinned. And that, brethren, is the problem. Sin. He wants all of us to sin so that we will be rejected. But we cannot envy the wicked. We cannot sin and be like them. We have to follow our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who overcame Satan the devil and this world. Therefore have I cast you as profane out of the mouth of Elohim, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. From the middle of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I have cast you to the ground, to the earth. I have laid you before kings, that they may behold you. In Revelation 12, it says that he was cast down to the earth. By the multitude of your iniquities, of your sins, and the unrighteousness of your traffic, you have profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore have I brought forth a fire from the middle of you that has devoured you, and I have turned you to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold you. All they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you, and you have become a terror, and you shall never more have any being. Satan will be destroyed forever, brethren. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, the people of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtain mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yahweh deceitfully, as some do, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. We want people to know the truth. We want them to come out of error, out of false doctrine. In verse 3 it says, and even if our message of good tidings is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the mighty one of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good tidings of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but the Messiah Yahshua is sovereign, and ourselves as your servants, for Yahshua's sake, seeing it is Elohim that said, light shall shine out of darkness. And we know that the light stands for the Torah. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. Yahshua the Messiah is the light of Almighty Yahweh. Love covers a multitude of sins. Turn with me to James or Jacob, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. That's Jacob 5, 19 and 20, or James. Those who have a King James Version, whatever. James 5, 19 and 20. My brethren, if any among you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he who converts a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall cover a multitude of sin. And brethren, we definitely want to do that. We don't want anyone to perish. We know people will perish because they will not accept the glad tidings, the truth of Almighty Yahweh. But we know that we have to do our job and make sure that we're teaching the word of Yahweh. Turn to 1 John for our final scripture. That's 1 John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. 1 John 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of Yahweh, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And if there is any sin, if there is any error in their doctrine, they're not of Yahweh. By this you know the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses that Yahshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is of Yahweh. And every spirit that confesses not Yahshua is not of Yahweh. The Jews today won't confess that Yahshua has come because they don't believe he's come. It says, every spirit that confesses that Yahshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is of Yahweh. We're talking Yahshua now, not Jesus, not Krishna, not Muhammad, Yahshua. One name under heaven by which men shall be saved, and that's Yahshua. And every spirit that confesses not Yahshua is not of Yahweh. And this is the spirit of the Anti-Messiah, of which you have heard that it comes. And now it is in the world already. You are of Yahweh, the children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. And the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He that knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a distinction made between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, in verse 7, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh. So if they come to you and say, well, you know, this is the truth, but we hate these people over there, you know it's not of Yahweh. You know they're not of Yahweh. Because Yahweh says right here, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh. And everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. If you hate, you do not know Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. And this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, brethren, living through Yahshua the Messiah, not envying the wicked. The Pharisees and scribes envied Yahshua, but they did not want to follow him. They wanted the worship, the glory of Yahshua, just like Satan wants the worship and the praise and the glory of Almighty Yahweh. This is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. If you don't love Yahweh, you don't have his Holy Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim. And we know and have believed the love which Yahweh has in us. Yahweh is love, brethren. And he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him. And this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And that day is coming very shortly, brethren. Because as he is, even so are we in this world. Because we're following his example. Brethren, let us not envy the wicked, but let us do all we can to emulate Yahshua. The people of the world will envy us, but we hope it will cause them to praise Yahweh and turn from their wicked ways. The love of Yahweh, which we will show them, can overcome any evil that they have within them. Let's pray, brethren, that our Savior Yahshua comes soon as we prepare for the Passover and for his soon coming kingdom. May Almighty Yahweh bless you all. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Al if he would close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Father, we come before you on the Sabbath, and we've heard another inspiring message. And I know, Yahweh, I've been guilty of envy. Not necessarily envy of the world or those that are in it, but I've been envious of people, brethren, that have been blessed by you. And I know that this is wrong. I pray, Yahweh, that you would continue to work on me, continue to work in all of us, because there's no room for envy. We know, Father, that in Romans 1, you say that there were people who refused to have you in their knowledge, and that you gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not fitting, and that they were filled with all unrighteousness, they were filled with wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, and they were full of envy. So we could see that being full of envy is a fruit of a reprobate mind. Proverbs 14 says that a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Father, there is no room for us to have envy, and I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Envy is not a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits that we should be manifesting, not envy. I know, Yahweh, that sometimes we miss the mark, and I'm thankful, Father. I'm thankful. I'm sure that each and every one of us are thankful that you forgive us when we cry out to you because of our sinful ways. But we pray, Yahweh, that you continue to work in us, continue to make us more like Yahshua. Get us to the point where Yahshua is the one that is seen, and not us. We pray that he would shine through in our lives, that we would be living epistles to this world. We come before you on this Sabbath, giving you the thanks, praise, the glory, and the honor that you so rightfully deserve. We know that it is because of Yeshua that we can do this, that we can come before your throne of grace 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can receive the help we need. We thank you for those people that are on the prayer list, those dear people that need answers to situations in their lives that only you could solve. We pray, Yahweh, that you would touch, that you would heal, that you would use us, if need be, to minister to these people and to see them healed and see the life come into their hearts and their minds. We thank you for this Sabbath. We pray you continue to be with us for the remaining hours of Shabbat and help us to, I pray, Father, that you would watch over us this next week and get us safely to another Sabbath so we can once again draw into the close and intimate places of Yahweh on the Sabbath day with people of like precious faith. We give you thanks, the praise, the glory, honor in the name of Yeshua as we say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.